Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 218 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. Today I have a great guest, Andy Stickle. And if you've been around on social media, poking around, trying to learn anything about how lawyers get new clients and how they do marketing in the digital age, then for sure you run across Andy Stickle. He's ubiquitous in terms of his presence on a variety of social media platforms, probably most well known for the video content that he produces. So Andy is, in fact, a digital marketing strategist and whose aim in life is to help lawyers get more clients through creative marketing. And I think you're going to see through this conversation exactly how he does that. Make sure you stick around to the end of the show. And Andy has a very special offer to all of our listeners, which I'm grateful for. So without any further delay, here is Andy Stickle. Andy Stickle, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm delighted to have you on the show, Andy. As I mentioned to you earlier, I'm a big fan of yours. I've been binge-watching your YouTube channel, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and have followed you for a while. And we've kind of circled around each other at different times, different events. And I'm really happy to have you on the show today so we can get to know each other a little better. But until that happens, why don't we start off and have you tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today?
Yeah, sure. My name is Andy Stickle, and I create a ton of content where my goal is basically to teach as many lawyers as possible how to do their marketing on their own. And a lot of lawyers have taken my information and gotten tons and tons of clients. And I also happen to own an agency where I help. We've got about 70 clients that I oversee the marketing campaigns on. And then I have about 300 coaching students who are lawyers who I'm teaching them how to actually do the marketing themselves. And, I just try to help as many people as possible and provide value and hope that some of it comes back my way. And, it's worked pretty well so far.
Well, it's a subject that's really near and dear to my heart because I'm an attorney. I came to the practice of law late in life. Right. It's my fourth career. And before that, I was a techie. I was in software development, program development, and engineering and that kind of thing. So I've always had more of a desire to do it myself than probably I should. You know, there's that balance with where should you spend your time and effort, and from a tech side, particularly when it comes to marketing and productivity, that's really what I like to do. So I have to kind of balance that a little bit. And what's really refreshing to hear is that, you know, in your world and from your experience, that's not altogether wrong. You can achieve that balance. So let's talk about what some of the challenges are to attorneys who want to do the marketing for themselves. What kind of difficulties do they get themselves in, and how would you counsel them not to get in that position?
Well, I think that the biggest issue really is understanding how marketing is supposed to work. And that's a problem that a lot of attorneys get into. Like, so I try to put the strategy out there even more than I put the tactics out. And the strategy is different than the tactics. The strategy is basically like, if you look at the strategy like in a war, for example, right? Mm-hmm. 500 years ago, the strategy in war was still get to the high ground, right? And the tactics are different. The tactic is, how did we get to the high ground? You know, so they walked, and then they used horses, and then they used tanks, and one day maybe they'll teleport there. But the strategy is still get to the high ground, right? And you know, what you and I were talking so earlier, that it's so easy to basically just create content these days, and you know, throw up a website. And say you own a marketing company, and or say that you're a marketing company and you're going to do marketing for lawyers. And the problem is, a lot of lawyers just don't even understand what good marketing is. They don't understand the strategy that goes behind marketing. And that's really what I focus on more than anything, is I focus on the strategy, and then the tactics will come. Because it, you know, like you were saying, and it's really like, I don't know if you've read The E-Myth. It's a great book. Sure. And basically what it talks about is that, you know, just because you're a great lawyer doesn't qualify you to be a great law firm owner, you know. And it's about business in general, but really, it, you know, because you're a great chef doesn't mean you're going to be great at owning a restaurant, because there's so much more that goes into it, you know. And that's kind of one of the things I'm trying to teach, is basically, here's what good marketing looks like. Here's, you know, if a marketing company is coming to you, here's at least the things that they should, that here's the things you need to know, so that you can have an intelligent conversation with them, so that they under, so that you can kind of tell if they're full of crap or not. Because there's a lot of really good marketers out there, but there's also a lot of really bad ones out there, and it's sometimes hard to tell the difference.
For sure, and I'll be the first to admit that I have made that mistake and picked one. You know, well, I made the mistake over and over again, frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So the first mistake you make is you hire one that costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Thinking the more it costs, the better they must be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that didn't work. Okay. then you look to the ones that other people are using, because if it works for them, it should work for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can keep running down those scenarios. I think one of the challenges that we as attorneys have is just kind of the mindset that we have as individuals. And I think attorneys are really prone to looking for that magic bullet.
Mm-hmm.
They think there's going to be one thing that they do. Now, if I just do this, clients will come flocking through the door.
Yeah.
Do you get that sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, so perfect example is Facebook ads. Right.
Yeah.
I've talked to so many lawyers that are like, Facebook ads don't work. I've tried running Facebook ads and they didn't work. Like, okay, well, let's unpack that a little bit. What have you tried? I put a video up, or I put up a post that said, I've got 50, you know, $500 million in verdicts and settlements, and call me today if you've gotten into a car accident, and I spent $20 and I didn't get a case. Like, okay, well, you've got to do a little bit more than that, you know? And then like, sure. You know, so when we launch campaigns for clients, I think the biggest misconception, and we really try to kind of emphasize this from the beginning, is that in the beginning, it's probably not going to work. Because what we're doing, like, marketing is testing. That's all it is. I'm still testing. I'm really good at running ads. I've got over, if you look at my ads dashboard, I've got over 700 live ads right now that I'm running on Facebook. And I'm sure you see my ads all the time, right?
Sure.
But I don't know what's going to work and what isn't going to work until I try it. And I've been doing this for a long time. So what it comes down to is, you know, you throw a lot of stuff against the wall and you see what works. And I think that's what a lot of people kind of, it's like you said, they want that magic bullet, but that's like going to the gym, lifting weights one time and expecting to be ripped. It's not going to happen. You know, you've got to continually be flexing those muscles. You've got to be continually doing different things, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work, testing different things, because what works for you might not work for someone else, or vice versa. You know, it's a big part of it. And there's two sides of it. You know, like I said, there's understanding the tactics of how to actually run Facebook ads. And then there's understanding the strategy of, okay, what does a Facebook ad look like? What are the components that go into creating a successful Facebook ad? How do we actually target the right types of people? What should the goal be of our Facebook ad? Because a lot of people will run Facebook ads and Instagram ads the same way that they run pay-per-click ads. And they're two totally different things, because it's, you know, one is responsive. Pay-per-click is responsive, where someone is searching, I need this type of lawyer. So you're responding to that by showing them an ad, versus something like social media, where that's actually proactive, where somebody is not looking for an attorney and you actually have to get in front of their face and get their attention and say, hey, do you have this problem? Then you probably need an attorney. So it's two totally different skill sets and it's two totally different messages, you know? So
and you probably need to get in front of them multiple times and not just one time and think they're going to pick up the phone and call you.
Absolutely. Yeah. There used to be something called 3-point marketing. And that was where you needed to get in front of somebody. Somebody needed to see your brand 3 times before they really kind of trusted you. Now it's like 28-point marketing. And it's probably even more than that.
Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about like some of the platforms and where they're heading and what role they play in marketing a law firm. You know, when I first started in practice, I worked for a personal injury firm. The be all and end all of marketing was yellow book, yellow page ads. The biggest, the best, the most expensive yellow page ads you could get, because that's where the clients turned to when they needed an attorney. Now that day has long since passed, although it just really seems like it was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through a whole bunch of different, you know, kinds of thinking. Then there was a time when attorney said, well, all I got to do is put up a website. Doesn't really matter what it looks like. You know, just got to have a presence out there. And of course, as we all know now, that it's a lot more than just throwing up a website. So What are some of the trends you see in terms of marketing approaches that firms are using successfully? And are any dying out, do you think, or on their way out?
Well,
it's a pretty generalized question, I understand. But
There's always new things coming in and there's things going out. I think that, you know, like everyone, I keep hearing every 6 months I see an article about saying SEO is dead. And SEO is definitely not dead, because for pay-per-click to exist, they have to have organic, right? So what's happening though is Google is making it more and more difficult for you to rank robustly in the maps. And the maps is really where I think that's where the phone calls come from in our experience. So you need to rank, you know, if someone searches personal injury attorney, criminal defense attorney, bankruptcy lawyer, whatever they search, you need to be in that 3-pack. So SEO is, I mean, I think SEO is just changing. I think it's getting harder, but I think SEO is still always going to be SEO. I think that really the opportunity that most lawyers just are ignoring is social media and creating content and creating value and helping people solve problems. And the reason why I think it's a lot harder than it actually is. But what's amazing about it is that I was saying the other day, they're giving out participation awards right now. If you just participate in creating social media content and actually providing value with the aim of helping people with no underlying motive, with actually trying to help people, then you will get a lot back in return. And I've seen it over and over again. We've got clients right now that are having record months in the pandemic because they're using this strategy where basically all they're doing is they're just trying to help as many people as they can. And what happens is when they put content out that actually helps people, then first of all, people pay attention to it. Second, it makes people know, like, and trust you. It builds a tremendous amount of goodwill. But then people want to contact you because you helped them, you know, and that's truthfully, it's literally the exact same strategy that I use. I just put out a ton of information. I figure out like, what are all the problems that lawyers have and what are the solutions to those problems? And I'm going to create videos that address the problem and then give you the solution. And then if you need more help, contact me. And we turn away half the people that contact us just because of the fact that we have so many leads. You know, and it's just because I just help as many people as possible.
It's a nice problem to have, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think you're quite right about that. I mean, I think we've always kind of understood that you have to give value to get value, and that's absolutely true. But in particular, during, you know, this pandemic and now the additional unrest that we've had as of late in our country, you know, people are turning more and more to their screens, to their phones, their tablets, their laptops. And social media is on the rise, even more so than it was before. I mean, I get my screen report, you know, the end of every week, and gee whiz, over the last 12 weeks, it's steadily gone up. Mm-hmm. And people are going there to find value. They're going there to find information. And if you're the one who can provide it to them, it's going to position you well, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people go to social media to be informed or entertained. Those are the two reasons that they go there. You know, so if you can, and especially like, you know, the thing is that the way you inform people and the way you get people's attention is just solve problems. So people always have problems. It's just their problems change depending on what's going on. You know, like problems that people had in December are completely different than the problems that people had in April. You know, and you just have to adapt your messaging and start solving different problems. That's what, you know, it doesn't matter what your practice area is. Your ideal clients still have problems. They're just probably different problems than they had a couple months ago. And that's fine. You just pivot.
I think the other thing that challenges attorneys in particular is there is a group that kind of looks down their nose at social media and says, mm-hmm. you know, I'm an attorney. I'm not playing around on Facebook or tweeting or, you know, fooling around on Instagram. I have real legal work to do.
Yeah.
The irony is, but that's what your clients are. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, at the same time,
there's a way to do it without, you know, succumbing to the worst parts of social media. You can still hold your head up high and provide good value and answer and resolve problems as you suggest, using social media as a platform.
Sure. So there's two types of people. There's consumers of social media and there's producers of social media. You do not have to be a consumer of social media to be a producer of social media. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, I hate Facebook. I hate I don't like reading all the stuff that people put up. Well, don't read it. Just put up content. You know, like, you don't have to be a consumer of social media to take advantage of social media. And, you know, the other thing is that I do talk to some lawyers that kind of think that they're above social media, and that's fine. If they have other ways, you know, maybe they are lucky enough that they don't need it right now, but there may come a day that they do need leads and they do need more clients. And, you know, you got to go where your clients are, and everyone's on social media. The other thing is that, you know, you're a lawyer, but if you own a law firm, you're an entrepreneur first. You know, you've got to run a business. And if you don't make sales, then you're not going to have a law firm much longer. So there is an element to it where it's like, you've got to be willing to do things that are uncomfortable. Especially we saw that in the pandemic. That, you know, because like, for perfect example, we have a client, a couple clients that are DUI attorneys, and DUI searches were just dead, and they're still dead because the bar closes.
Yeah.
So like, you've got to do something different. You can't just sit around because people aren't searching on Google for a DUI lawyer. So, you know, it's adapt or die. That's what it comes down to, you know, and some of them weren't comfortable going on social media, but they had to, and they had to do other things and talk about rights and stuff like that. And it worked well. We had some clients that had record months.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you also have the phenomena of firms that are looking at others and saying, well, I don't really understand. I don't get it. Why they're doing so well in this practice area. I'm in the same practice area, you know, whether it be family law or criminal defense, and they're crushing it right now during this pandemic for whatever reason, and I'm not. And I think a lot of times it has to do with the message that they're sending out, you know, if they're even using social media to get that message out.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that there's zero correlation with being good at your thing and getting paid for it.
Yeah, right.
But there's a direct correlation with being good at marketing your thing and getting paid for it. That's why a lot of times I'll talk to lawyers and we'll be going through like Google results with them. And they'll be looking at the attorneys that are ranking at the top of Google. They're like, I know this guy. He's never in court. I never see this guy in court. Or this is a mill. They get horrible settlements, all that type of stuff. And the thing is that is probably true. But the reality is Google does not know who the best lawyer is. Google only knows who the best marketers are, you know? And like, same thing with the general public. If they knew who you were, they would search for you by name, but they don't. They search car accident lawyer and they get what Google gives them, or they get what's in the PPC ads. And that's typically the top marketers or the ones that are willing to spend that much money.
The complaint that I hear frequently is from solo and small firm practitioners is that they just can't compete in that arena with the bigger firms with bigger budgets, and also then the state multinational marketing companies. And you can fill in the blank which ones you want to talk about.
Yeah,
but when you do a search on Google, you have to go real far down before you get to a real law firm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know folks get frustrated by that because they said, look, I can do all the SEO I want. I can put all the content out there that I can. And I can even go to the point of spending dollars in a pay-per-click campaign. But gee, how do I compete with those that have so many more resources than I do?
Yeah. And that's a common complaint. And the reality is that it's actually not that difficult to compete with them. Really, what it comes down to is trying to convert as much traffic into traffic that you control, or sorry, traffic that you own. And basically what that means is that you want to do very targeted campaigns that are actually, because like, so if you look at like a large law firm, like let's say Morgan and Morgan. Everybody knows Morgan and Morgan, right? So their television budget has got to be seven figures, right?
Easily.
But the problem is that 99.99% of people that see those TV ads are never going to need a lawyer, right? Because they're just blanketing everyone. And I equate it to killing a spider with a shotgun. So think about all that money that's wasted, right? And if you actually look at how much money they spent and what actually it provides them an ROI, it's probably not that much, you know? So how do you eliminate all that waste? Like if you don't have a seven-figure TV budget or even a TV budget at all, which I don't think TV is the way to go, how do you compete with them? It's actually really easy. You niche down a little bit and you start talking to a specific group about specific problems that they have. And then you pay Facebook to put that content in front of the eyeballs of the right types of people. And then you can quickly start becoming an authority in their eyes. And what I like doing is I like creating some sort of free bait or free cheat sheet or white paper or whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. And getting their email address. And this is the exact same strategy that I use for myself. I run a cold ad solving a problem. And then I say, if you want to learn more, click here and register for my thing, right? And that's either a cheat sheet or a webinar or whatever it is. And then after that, I start sending you daily emails. Are you on my email list, Neil?
I am.
Yep. Okay. So you get an email from me every single day, right?
I sure do.
But my emails are not sales pitches. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I very, very rarely ever send out a sales pitch.
Tell you that the only people whose emails I continue to get are the ones that provide value and information to me. It's a sale,
right, exactly.
And I think people can see that a mile away.
Yeah.
If it's a sales oriented pitch, you know, I listen to it for a little while and then unsubscribe. And I think lawyers do themselves a disservice by not signing up for newsletters such as yours.
Oh yeah.
You know what else? Under the belief that they're going to get spammed. And the point of fact is, it's free information. It's great stuff. You just have to figure out the right ones to listen to.
Right, exactly. And you know what else is funny is that so what that does is that allows you and by doing that, I can email every day and people don't get annoyed because it's not a sales pitch. Because every email that I send is an actual video that shows them how to solve a problem. You know, so I have a very low unsubscribe rate and I literally email every single day. And what's funny though is that I sometimes get attorneys that they get, I've had attorneys that basically they're very, very resistant to my marketing process because they think there's a catch somewhere, right? They think that I'm about to like somehow trick them into buying something.
When are you going to spring it on me?
Yeah, exactly. When are you going to spring it on me? And it doesn't happen. But what's kind of funny is that sometimes I get people that are like offended by my marketing process. And that never makes sense to me because I'm like, you're coming to me to learn how to market your law firm. And then you're getting upset that I'm marketing, like you're not paying attention to what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, and I think there's a lot of people, a lot of times you can learn more about the marketer by what they're doing than what they're telling you. Because like for me, I tell people to do exactly what I'm doing, but there's a lot of marketing companies out there that will tell you to do X, Y, and Z. And then you look at what they're doing and they're not doing any of that. And that's usually a red flag. You know, like I as they say, I drink my own Kool-Aid. And it just because it works so well, it's so easy and it works so well. And there's no competition because it's just hard enough to keep away your competitors.
You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150. That's like the Law Entrepreneur 150 for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. So we figured out in this process that social media is a valid platform. Pick whatever one you want to work with, or you work with all of them, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever floats your boat. And we figured out that email marketing has to dovetail with that. Where does video marketing, particularly YouTube, you make such a great or do such a great job with your YouTube channel, and you've integrated it into all your other marketing mechanisms. Talk to us a little bit about the future of video marketing.
So I think video marketing is the best type of marketing, and there's a couple of reasons why. When I started doing this, I bought a camera. I bought a camera so I can do videos. Yeah. And that camera sat on my desk for 6 months because I was afraid to use it. You know, which is funny because I'm like the video guy and I've got like 700 videos right now. Yeah. And like, you know, and but like there was a day when I did not want to be on camera and I was afraid and I was nervous and it took me an hour to do a video take. In fact, the first ad I ever filmed literally took me all day to film a 3-minute ad. And I mean, now I can film a 3-minute ad, you know, between my last appointment and you know, this podcast. Yeah. But it took some time. So what I tried doing instead, I bought the camera and I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to write blogs instead. And it took me 3 days to write a blog post. And it was a really good blog post, but it took me 3 days because I'm just a slow writer. And, you know, you try to make everything perfect. And you're doing screenshots. And you're doing all this stuff. And then I finally, so I can do a video now that covers the same type of blog post. I can do that in 5 minutes. And then what I do is I then post that video on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I upload the audio to my podcast. I send it to my writer and they transcribe it and they turn it into a blog post. So it still ends up as a blog post. You know, you can use it all of these different places. And, you know, I can use it on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere, you know, and then also YouTube. So I prefer video just because it's so versatile. You can create one piece of content and you can distribute that same piece of content everywhere rather than having to, you know, like obviously if you do a blog post, that's not going to go, you can only put that on your website. You can't put that on YouTube. You can't put that on Instagram. I guess you could put it on Facebook, but the problem is that people don't get to know you. You know, like what's interesting is I did an event a couple back in October, and I there was like 50 lawyers there. And at one point I asked them, I said, who here has never met me before? And I had never met, I don't think I met a single lawyer that was at that event. I was like, who here has never met me before, but feels like you've known me your entire life or known me for, you know, really, really long time. And every single person raised their hand. And you don't get that from a blog post. You get that from people binge watching your videos and knowing your mannerisms and knowing there's a brick wall behind you and knowing that that you have a dog that barks in the background, you know, stuff like that.
You know, it's funny with all the Zoom conferences that we've been doing as of late, and particularly like, you know, even on the news and what have you, there's a whole subculture, and I'm part of it, that has devolved into looking at what's on the wall behind them. What do they have on their bookshelf? What books do they have? You know? that's the kind of thing we pay attention to, because video is so engaging.
Yeah.
So here is where I think the challenge is, and maybe you can help me kind of flesh this out a little bit. You know, if I had a whole army of folks working for me to help me do all of this, I would do all of it.
Sure.
So says, you know, every attorney who's listening.
Yeah.
But it's just me right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make that happen? How do I get started and do this marketing myself? I don't want to have to spend money that I don't need to hire somebody to tell me something I don't want to hear.
Right.
How do I go about doing this myself with just me?
Yeah. So the easiest way to do it, if it's just you, and eventually and here's the thing also, is that I didn't start marketing the way that I market intentionally. What I did is I just started creating videos. And then one day I was like, you know, I should put these videos on LinkedIn. That'd probably be a good idea.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I want to send these videos out in an email. I got to host them somewhere. Maybe I should put them on YouTube. You know, like it didn't really like, I didn't set out to build this entire thing. Most of it was just kind of me like, yeah, why am I not doing that? You know?
Sure. Yeah.
But what I did is I started by just creating videos and just getting comfortable on camera, because you've got to accept the fact that you're going to suck at first. There's just nobody starts anything and is amazing. Think about the first time when you started as a lawyer, you know, compared to how you are now.
First
time in court, you know, you were probably nervous, fumbling your papers, all that type of stuff. And by this point, you know, it's like riding a bike. Like it's no different than having any conversation with anybody else, right? So that's the first thing. People have to accept that they're going to suck. The problem is that most people will not suck long enough to get good at something, you know? And that's something that I think a lot of people have to understand. And the thing is that there's very few things in life that you do over and over that you get worse at. You're going to get better. If I can be good on camera, anyone can be good on camera, because I was terrible at first. But what I would do is something called PSA marketing. And what PSA marketing is really easy. It doesn't cost you any money. You film a video so first of all, what you do is you figure out like problems that affect large groups of people. So for example, I always use the example of if you're a car accident attorney, right? And this would be an example for like a normal time. Like right now, I'm drawing a blank what we could talk about right now. But like you could say, actually, no, this is even applicable now. You could say, hey, everybody, Neil here. As you guys know, I'm a personal injury attorney. And I just had somebody come in my office that had this problem. And it's a problem that costs them, I think, tens of thousands of dollars. And really, this happens so often that I think it's important that I film a video and explain this to all my friends and family I'm friends with on Facebook, because it's so important. I don't want anyone else to get screwed like this person who just came in my office. So if you guys have car insurance, which obviously you should all have car insurance, you need to look at your policy and make sure that you have uninsured motorist coverage. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because this person just came in my office and they were rear-ended by somebody and they have lower back injury and they're a construction worker. So they actually can't work right now. But the problem is is that the person that hit them doesn't have car insurance and they themselves don't have UM coverage. So because they don't have this, I literally can't help them. There's nothing I can do for them. So this is something that you cannot afford not to have. So what you need to do is you need to look at your insurance policy. You need to, and if you don't understand it, if you don't see UM coverage on there, you need to call your insurance agent and tell them to add it. You absolutely cannot afford not to have it. Now, if you have any questions about this or just anything else with your car insurance, or you just have any questions at all, just send me a direct message or give me a call and make sure to share this video so that more people see it, because this is an issue that's so common and so many people don't realize that this is an issue. Talk to you guys soon. Hope you have a good day. So by recording a video like that, and the reason I say PSA, because it's like a public service announcement, because that's something that is really, it affects everybody. And it's something that really everybody should know. I'd imagine as an injury attorney, you would agree that everybody needs UM coverage.
Yeah. And if you have it, up it even more.
Exactly. Yeah. So what will happen is people will see that video, your friends and family, and they'll start to share it. And they'll share it with their friends. And then their friends will see it. And because it's valuable and it provides really good information, they'll then share it. And what happens, like we've had, this is the strategy that I've been having lawyers use during the pandemic. And we've had lawyers that have gotten tens of thousands of views on a single video and have had like record months in their law firm because these videos have gone viral. We had a client who, he got 200 leads in a single day. You know, like it's well, insane,
One of the things that you mentioned there, and I don't want to gloss over, I want to make sure everybody heard it, is in the video, you ask the viewer to share it if they think it is valuable.
Yeah.
And I think that's a key point that a lot of us miss. Mm-hmm. You know, put the video up, public service announcement, and we just hope people share it.
Yeah.
Or we make it difficult for them to share. We don't include a share button or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's important to make sure that you understand that, let people know what you want them to do with it.
Yeah. And also, it's a soft call to action. You don't say, call me at the end. So my rule of thumb is talk to the camera like you would talk to a friend. You know, if you were telling this to a friend, you wouldn't tell them to call you for a consultation. You'd say, send me, you know, text me text me or give me a call or whatever, you know? So that's the rule of thumb. It should be very, very soft. It shouldn't feel like an attorney, like a TV attorney, you know? Another tip, when you do this, make sure to keep an eye on your filtered messages, because if someone that is not friends with you sends you a direct message, which I promise you they will if you do this, make sure you keep an eye, because it'll go into your filtered messages and you won't actually see, you'll miss the message, and then 3 months later, you'll see it in there and it'll be too late and you'll kick yourself.
You did a really great video not too long ago on just this subject about getting in front of the camera. I had a mentor one time when we were talking about video marketing. And he said the key to video marketing is just turn the damn camera on.
Oh, yeah.
And just 100%. Turn it on and get it going, and you'll get better, as you say, with each and every one, and you'll grow with it. But if you don't turn the camera on, you leave it sitting on your desk, as you suggested, for 6 months.
Yep,
you're not going to get any value out of it. And one of the videos that you did not too long ago was 3 points on how to overcome your concern about appearing on video and how to be authentic. And mm-hmm. one of the things in that, I'm just going to give away the whole story here. One of the things in that was to not think that you're talking to hundreds or thousands or millions of people. Mm-hmm. Imagine that you're talking to one person, your best friend, mm-hmm. you know, or your wife, because that's the connection that you have that allows you to be authentic. And I think a lot of attorneys worry that if I get on camera, I'm going to end up being somebody who I'm not. Mm-hmm. Well, you just have to make yourself authentic. You have to be who you are. And that means that the video has all the warts and all the hiccups and everything that it may have, because that makes you real.
Yeah, and that will actually, nobody's perfect. So authenticity will do better than a polished video that seems perfect every single time. You know,
And in terms of the PSA, you know, one thing that I've struggled with during this pandemic, and I've shared with the audience before, is there is a fine line between providing content that serves the public mm-hmm. versus exploiting the situation.
Sure. Yeah.
And I guess the way you know the difference is do you feel good about what you just said, or do you feel yucky?
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's a good way to say
it's as good a barometer as any. If you're not genuine and you don't feel like what you provided was valuable, then you probably need to figure out a different way to say it.
And that's why I try to stick with solving problems, because if I identify a problem and I provide the solution to that problem, then I'm usually going to be okay. Because, you know, like, and look, let's face it. Everybody wants to provide value, and they want, you know, at some point they want to receive some money in return for that value, you know, right. But if you can help people genuinely solve problems to the point where they can watch your video and they can actually walk away with action steps, that's my thing. I'm really big in making sure that I want people to be able to walk away with actually like action steps for my videos. So they can walk away and objectively, here are some things that you can do, where if they never talk to me again, they still can benefit from that. You know, that's usually my rule of thumb. I try to do that with every video. I usually feel pretty good after that.
Now, all the platforms are adding new features here, and part of the, I call it the Zoom phenomena.
You know,
during the pandemic, we've all just gravitated to online real-time video conferencing. And Zoom's a big player. They've had their issues with security, and I think they're working hard to try and resolve them. You don't feel that way, you know, pick a different platform. You know, there's a million of them out there now that you can work with. But one of the high wire acts of doing so is you're online, you can be on live. So talk a little bit about the difference between live video content versus, you know, something you record and you present later.
I love live video. The challenge of live video is getting people to watch live video.
Yeah.
So what I did recently a couple times, I think I did this like 5 weeks in a row, and it worked really, really well. And the problem was, it was just I wanted to take a little bit of a break from it, but I'm going to go back to it. What I started doing is I started co-promoting with other people who had similar audiences to me, or the same audience to me, that we're not competitors. And actually, that I even worked with some competitors. I mean, Michael Mogul and I, technically, we're competing. We both own agencies. We both do videos, stuff like that, because, you know, he owns Crisp.
Know Michael well.
Yeah. So what we do is I promote to my list, they promote to their list, and then we end up with a really big audience there that consists of my audience and their audience. And the benefit is that now they are exposed to my audience and I'm exposed to their audience. So, like, for example, I worked with Answering Legal, and we co-promoted a webinar, a live video, and I think we had 1,000 people show up, and about, it was right down the middle, 500 were from me and 500 were for them. And what's cool about that is now you've got a very large audience in front of you, that half of them, you know, typically, depending on how good the other person promotes, typically don't know you. And you can pick up a lot of people that way. So, like, that's one of the things I was telling lawyers, is that if you can do live video in a Q&A format with people that have complementary businesses that are not competitors, but are targeting the same types of people as you. So, for example, like, if you're a bankruptcy attorney or an estate planning attorney, I mean, you could pair up with a family law attorney. You could pair up with a certified financial planner. You know, you could, there's so many different types of people that are targeting essentially the same types of people that you are. And you can co-promote and basically say, like, okay, hey, we're going to do a Q&A, answer all of your financial questions. Just come on, ask the questions, and we'll answer them live, you know? And that's something I'm doing now too. I'm doing live Q&As once a week. I did one yesterday, and I did one last Wednesday also. And they go for 2 hours, and I just get rapid fire questions. And what's great about this is that if you want to get really good on camera, doing live video.
Start doing it live, yeah.
Yeah, because there's no second take, you know? And
no safety net.
Exactly. But what's cool about it, like, when I do these Q&As, part of the reason I do these Q&As is because I can download the video afterwards and I've got 20 questions and 20 answers. So I can literally send it to my video editor, and now I've got 20 more videos that can go on YouTube, and I can put, you know, all these different places. So it's in 2 hours, you know, I just created a ton of content. I created almost a month's worth of content if I wanted to, you know?
Easily.
And you just get great on camera. And it's, I love doing live video because it checks all those boxes. It's fast. It's easy. It's way easier than you think it's going to be. It's a little awkward the first time you do it, but then you get comfortable real quick, and it's great.
Well, I think that's something me personally that I want to spend a little more time doing, and I'm seeing more and more attorneys who are doing exactly what you're talking about, partnering up with other practitioners or other service providers. So I think that's a really smart way to go. Andy, we've talked about a lot of things here. One of the things I think that is invaluable that you have to offer is you have a book that kind of pulls all this together a little bit. Let's plug your book a little bit and tell our audience how they might go about taking advantage of that.
Sure. Yeah. The book is called How to Get More Law Firm Clients Without Losing Time and Money or Getting Screwed by a Marketing Company. So it's a mouthful, but I think it's a great book. We've gotten some really, really good testimonials or reviews on it. So I give the book away. The book's actually completely free. Or you can go to Amazon, you can get it for $20. Or you can go to freebookforlawyers.com and you can get a free copy. And the only thing we do is we charge you $7.95 for shipping. But we actually delay that charge for 30 days. So you actually get to read the book before you pay for it. And if you don't like it, then you can send me an email and I will refund your shipping and you can even keep the book. And I'll tell you this, we've sold several thousand books. I've literally never refunded anything. Yeah. Let me say, I've never had a request to refund anything.
Yeah. Well, let me also just kind of, state the obvious. What I think is really interesting here is that it's a real book. Okay. So many times you get an offer like this and it's an ebook and it turns out it's really just a collection of stuff that people have slapped together and it's not really of any value whatsoever. I know people who've got the book. I have the book. And it's a real book. It's a real tangible thing that you can learn from. So, and it's a no lose proposition.
Yeah, absolutely. So freebookforlawyers.com. You can go get the book there. It's a step by step strategy of how to get clients.
And let's also plug your YouTube channel because, as I said, I've been down that rabbit hole for weeks now. Ever since I discovered your channel, so I've really greatly contributed to the increased viewership on your channel.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's funny. I've got so much content on there that I'll watch videos and I'll be like, that's really good advice. I don't remember saying that, but it's good advice.
Yeah.
So you just go to, honestly, if you go to YouTube and search lawyer marketing, you'll find it. Yeah. But it's lawyer marketing with Andrew Stickle. If you search that or just search Andrew Stickle, you'll find something in there. I've got enough content that it's hard to miss me.
It's hard to miss. And one of the things I like about it, bite-sized bits of information.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not an hour-long video. They're usually somewhere between 5 to maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's on the high end. Usually five to seven is usually my sweet spot. And they usually have, I try to have some sort of action step that you can take away from every video.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. And I highly recommend it to anybody who's listening on our podcast today. So Andy, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to be with us today. I know you're a really busy guy and I am very appreciative of that time. And I look forward to actually being in the same room with you again at some point. And
for sure.
And
yeah, if conferences ever happen again.
If conferences ever happen. And I'll just salute you instead of shaking hands, but yeah, we'll acknowledge everybody's presence.
We'll elbow bump.
There you go. Thanks ever so much for being on The Law Entrepreneur.
All right. Thanks, Neil.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists and Jurisdiction. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.